Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LiveParanormal.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another very special Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name's Nikki Paranormal, and I'm just one of the hosts this evening. The other one is Rob Zarek. Let's bring him in live.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic.
That's wonderful.
It is wonderful. Hear it. Mm-hmm. We're back with another Spotlight Radio, and
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Definitely.
And we'll see what our guest, Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, has been up to during these times. Like, our trend lately has been, like, half staying on track and half talking about what people are doing during their downtime in the quarantine. So, and then people are enjoying it. So I think when you hear, I don't want to say the suffering, but the, what other people have
people
going on.
People who are going through the same thing. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like, if it's happening to someone else, it always makes me feel better. I don't know why. I guess it's bad. But
no, I think we all just kind of have a common ground. You know, even those who don't normally have a common ground have one with this. Wouldn't you agree?
Right. And I guess that's why they have things called support groups. So it's not just me who, like, looks like that. But
yeah,
I
you're not alone. We're all together in this.
We're all together. Mm-hmm. You're not alone.
Yep.
I think
I feel like that's like some sort of song or something.
That's
something my kid used to watch.
I think that maybe that's like a slogan for like 90% of all support groups. You are not alone. I think it's part of it.
You are not
that's
alone.
It's like a prerequisite.
We are all in it.
I don't know. I've never been a part of a support group, but I would assume that those are like important words when it comes to being.
I would assume we would make exceptional support group members. I think.
I don't know how supportive
I think
am
I,
at all the times. You may
I,
be more
I would
supportive.
Think. Yeah. Maybe.
I sometimes.
Just a little. Sometimes. I have my days.
Right.
Some days, you know, we all have those situations where we're like, yeah, you just wake up on the wrong side of bed sometimes. Or it just lasts throughout the whole darn day, you know.
Or weeks or months or whatever.
Or forever, yeah. It could just be, you know, and you end up finding out that, gosh, it's your personality.
it's just you.
Right, it just happened.
It's waking up on the right side of the bed is the anomaly.
Unnatural. Right.
Yeah. Look, I'm happy today. This is great.
What is wrong with the world? Right.
Today's gonna be
sometimes
an
I feel that way.
But no, we've been we've been doing a lot of shows. We've been doing a lot of psychic reading nights, and it's become almost like second nature to us now. And we've always done. We've always offered more than 13 plus years we've been on air, and I know the 6 years that we've been doing our show together, we've done a ton, and it's something that I think is actually people have been thanking us and saying how they need it now more than ever. So
yeah, and that makes us feel good. You know,
it does. We're doing our part. It's a very minor part, very very minor part, but. It's a part.
But we're glad to hear that people do appreciate it and that they're enjoying it and that, you know, it gives them a chance to perhaps talk to someone. You know, we had that one guest the one evening who, although she was working still, she lived alone, you know, and I think that, you know, she was doing the whole, you know, distancing, the quarantine thing other than going to work. And I think that she really enjoyed, from the sound of her voice, she enjoyed calling in and conversating with people who she didn't necessarily know, but, you know, it was like something that was different. It was something different in her day. Cause I think we're all kind of stuck in somewhat of a little bit of a monotony at this point, you know, kind of get up whatever time that might be, you know, and like you're going through you do have some different days where you go to venture out and brave the store if you have to. You know, when I'm here all day, I get excited to go to my mailbox. I don't know why, because I get nothing but bad news in it and bills. But, you know, it's still like something different.
Well,
maybe
I get to go out for the first time tomorrow, and I didn't even get a chance to tell you this. And I'm super excited, so it's my first day out in weeks. Well, I am going to the Cleveland Clinic, so I guess that they never start out well. But I am going to get fitted for a different brace because of the significant amount of reduced swelling that I have in my leg compared to standard.
Yay!
So
healing.
I have
great.
Tighten up and it shoots out of my leg, like the bottom of my foot.
What was that? I'm sorry. We missed that.
Oh, I have a brace that just shoots down to my ankle. And it's supposed to be on my thigh and knee and calf. So it's an issue, and I'm going tomorrow. So, but anyway, I think we should bring on our guest. Our opening monologue has come to an end.
Let's bring in Mark Anthony,
the psychic warrior.
And I know you love the V. Let's bring him in live.
I do. I do.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Nikki. Hey, Rob. Thank you for having me on the show tonight.
Thank you for joining.
Thank you for coming back.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I appreciate what both of you were saying during this time. I mean, this is definitely the most bizarre thing that I think's ever happened to the whole world. I mean, at least in the last century. And yes, it's terrible, and yes, everybody wants to go back to work, and I think everybody is suffering financially right across the board. I mean, I'm sure there's some people, you know, that aren't, but I think most people are. And it's horrible. It's so heart-wrenching seeing how many people are dying each day. And we know that it's not a pleasant death. And, you know, I never like getting political, but social distancing isn't political. This is, I've been listening to all of the scientists. I listened to the medical experts. And it's a highly contagious airborne disease. Okay, it's like the flu, but I've heard estimates that it's 3 to 10 times as contagious as the flu. All right, so the only way not to catch it is to not put yourself or in positions and situations where you're exposed to it. And so that's why staying home. And then there's all the conspiracy theorists that this is some attempt by the New World Order to, I don't know, make us stay home. But I can't understand what evil James Bond villain type would gain by destroying the economy, okay?
Right.
Some people are saying it's a plot by the Trump administration, and the thing is, that's the one thing he wouldn't want because it would make him look bad, okay? Then the conservatives are saying it's a plot by the Democrats, but why would the Democrats want to destroy the economy? Then I've heard Russia did it secretly by planting it in Wuhan to destroy the economy of China, except for the fact now Russia's cases are going off the scale. And we can sit here all day and point fingers and say this country did that and so on and so forth. But what we've seen through our history is since the dawn of recorded history, there have been plagues. The last one of this magnitude was roughly a century ago, the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918, something like 25 million people, just in the United States. I mean, it was millions of people. And so this type of thing has happened before. And as difficult as it may be, social distancing at this point in time is our only defense. And, you know, I've been keeping track, and we can get into that if you'd like. I mean, I've been looking at all the conspiracy theories, and while I maintain an open mind, when you listen to the epidemiologists everywhere from China to Oxford to Harvard to Johns Hopkins to the World Health Organization to the Japanese Medical Institute, it's very hard to believe that this is some type of something other than a virus. Anyway, that's my opinion on that, and I think that at this point we need to social distance, and shame on the governor of Georgia for being stupid enough to think that movie theaters and bowling alleys need to be open this week when the cases there
yeah.
are just spiking. I mean, come on. It's really amazing. I heard this guy 3 weeks ago say that, oh, I didn't know that people could catch it from people that were asymptomatic. All right, I went to law school in Georgia, and some of the universities in Georgia are some of the finest in the country. And he's not only in Atlanta, but you have Emory Medical, Emory University's Medical Center there, and you also have the Center for Disease Control. Okay, did this guy ever think to, like, I don't know, pick up the phone and call somebody over there? So, so for all my friends in Georgia, ignore your governor because he's
right.
an idiot.
Yeah, that's insane. Like, it's disturbing, quite honestly, that they're doing this lifting in certain places, because we're really not even sure if we're at the actual peak. Because I know locally on the news here, I don't really watch the news, but I capture little bits and pieces here and there. And every day it says, we've hit our peak. But it's been every day for I don't know how many weeks now. And I'm like, really? I thought we did that yesterday. You know, so I really think that there's a sense of the unknown, really, when it comes to this. And I think, like you said, the best way to handle this is to stay home, social distancing. Like, I think it's honestly the only way that we're going
to
do
it. Yeah, if you're on a battlefield, the best way not to get shot is to duck. Okay,
right.
I mean, and that's what's happening. The bullets are flying, so let's stay in the foxhole. Let's stay in the trench right now until the shooting stops. And the thing is, whether or not you trust Dr. Fauci and Birx and all this, I listen to BBC, France 24. I listen to what's happening in China. I listen to all the major news outlets. I read news reports from all over the world. And see, in my work as a medium, I'm referred to as a science-based evidential medium, and I have a background in physiology, anatomy, quantum physics, and science. And I saw an interview with astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he's one of the people I admire in the world. And he said, look, I'm not a doctor. He said, but listen to the experts. He said, if we can quarantine for 5 to 6 weeks, this thing will burn itself out. He said, but when you ignore the experts and you keep congregating and people get infected, it's just going to perpetuate itself. And so, there comes a time we have to listen to the experts. And this
mm-hmm.
is the time.
Right. I agree. Totally.
Well, the one thing that I have not researched, and I've been meaning to, but I've had a weird couple weeks. I was trying to see find out somebody who has recovered from having the coronavirus. I know that they're using their antibodies to try to create a vaccine. I've read about that, but I'm just curious about how, if they're more apt to get it again. I've heard yes, I've heard no. And I think, like, to the point where if you don't even have that information yet, that you shouldn't be going out, because if you can catch it more than once,
people are catching it more than once.
If you're not immune to it, then you could just recreate the cycle.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In fact, I saw a report tonight that, okay, on certain diseases, On all diseases, you develop antibodies to them. The question is, will the antibodies, after the initial infection subsides, will the antibodies that you produce attack and destroy a reinfection? And what the experts are saying is it's still too soon to tell, because this is a relatively new virus, and they need clinical trials, which they're doing. They said they won't have the data until early summer. And it's like, okay, early summer means the end of June, possibly into July. And, like, for example, not that this disease is like HIV, but when HIV came out, people who were exposed to it developed antibodies. However, the antibodies did not stop the HIV, and ultimately it killed people. and until they develop treatments and therapies for it. And now it's a manageable disease. I'm certainly not encouraging anyone to engage in behaviors that put you at risk for it. But they're looking, they meaning the medical experts, are looking at the COVID-19 virus. So there's two types of antibodies that are being formed. And there's a short-term one, and then there's apparently the long-term one. And that's the one they're looking at. And in other diseases, the long-term antibodies will keep you protected from the disease for up to 2 to 3 years. But they're not sure on this one. And Nikki, you are correct. From all indications and from what we're hearing from China, assuming we can believe what we're hearing from China, but when it comes to the actual medical science about it, I think that we can, because they have nothing to lose by hiding there, is that you can get it again, and it appears that the antibody effectiveness drops off rather rapidly. So what scientists are working on is a vaccine that I assume will keep the longevity of the antibodies so that you don't get reinfected. Now, this opens up the door for the conspiracy theorists that basically this is some type of new world order that Bill Gates is behind, and perhaps, you know, Dr. No and several other James Bond villains, that they want to inject us with some type of chip that's going to, I guess, control us. And maybe that's the case, but if the chip keeps me from getting the coronavirus and the flu and everything else, I might consider it.
Right.
That was a joke.
Me too.
You know?
No, but I would too, because I don't want this. I don't want to be sick. You know, I would like to go about living my life, although I was told I could return back to, like work as normal. But my work is not normal right now. We have no traffic. I work at a haunted bed and breakfast. We have a restaurant, a tavern, and bed and breakfast. We have tours. And right now, there's no customers because we're not allowed to be open, you know, for the restaurant side, other than carry out. We're only doing that on the weekends. So I'm like, why do I want to sit there between 9 to 5 every single day? Because the phone, like, rang like 4 times the other day, and I was so excited when it rang. Usually I cringe, but it rang and I was so excited. I'm bored out of my skull. So the idea of going back to work when I could be at home with the nice thought of being productive, although I'd probably just lay around and watch Netflix, you know, I want to go back to normal, but in the same regard, I want my job to go back to normal too. And it's insanely boring.
We do. We all want our lives back. What's very fascinating, tomorrow's Earth Day, April 22nd's Earth Day, and I believe it's the 50th anniversary of the celebration of Earth Day. And ironically, this will be probably the cleanest Earth Day that we've ever had.
Yeah, exactly.
Friends of mine in L.A. were telling me, it was on the news out there, and, you know, if you've been to L.A., you know that it's notoriously famous for its smog because of all the traffic. They said that the skies are blue and they've never been cleaner because nobody's driving. Friends of mine in New York, and, you know, God, you know, what New York City has been through has just been absolutely horrifying, but they're saying it's quiet. They said you never hear it so quiet. And in Venice, Italy, dolphins, for the first time in centuries, they're actually seeing dolphins swimming through the canals of Venice. They were so polluted before, and dolphins are intelligent, and they stayed away from that. So the air is cleaner, the oceans are cleaner. It's like all of a sudden Mother Nature is letting us know, you know, if you don't poison me so much, I may actually start to rebound. And there's another aspect to this in both in a scientific and a spiritual way. Scientifically, this is the first time in human history that all of the scientists around the world or scientists around the world and medical experts around the world are all working together and sharing information. In other words, our scientists are figuring out how do we contain, how do we stop this thing. We're not figuring out how to create weapons to destroy each other. And it's as if we're being given a lesson in a huge scale on a planetary basis that if we put our brain trust together, we actually can work together and solve humanity's problems. And this doesn't mean that we have to turn into one world state and all join hands and sing kumbaya, because that's never going to happen. Okay, well, let's face it, you know, human beings are what they are. But if we start realizing that instead of conquering each other, okay, this country has its boundaries, we have that, let's stop attacking each other, let's share information. That way then we can clean up our air, clean up our water, increase food production, increase health and safety standards, basically use our intelligence for productive and peaceful means. Then there is another message piggybacked on top of that, that this is the you can do this message. In other words, you can go on the path that we were going, which is ultimately going to lead to another world war, or you can stop and you can divert your resources into other things that benefit the planet, not just humanity, but also ecologically. And so there are a lot of very potent and very deep lessons being presented to this planet at this time. And the question is, will humanity learn the lesson? And the problem with lessons is they tend to be repeated until they are learned, and they get more complicated until they are learned. So that's my insight on what's happening beyond the, yes, it's very inconvenient being quarantined, but there is there are forces much larger at work here, which is showing that we're all interconnected, and now we have to start thinking globally when it comes to science, technology, and the environment.
Definitely.
Now that's interesting, I'm curious when it comes to your job as a psychic medium. Have you been getting a lot of calls and questions in regarding to the pandemic and people want an out and looking for hope through getting a reading?
Well, what's been happening is now more than ever, people need a connection with loved ones and spirit, because we're living in uncertain and frightening times. And spirits will bring messages of love, healing, resolution, reassurance. So that's very important right now. And I just want to say to all the listeners, I realize that there's, economic hard times hitting everyone. And so for listeners of this show, if they go to my website, evidenceofeternity.com, and if they apply for a reading, make sure in the application form that you either mention, Live Paranormal or Rob and Nikki. Okay, say, I heard you on Rob and Nikki. That my staff is instructed to extend to them reduced fee readings. And so, but they have to put in Live Paranormal and that they, Rob and Nikki's names, because, I'm trying to do my part as well. And to answer your question directly, Rob, what I've found since mid-February, every time I'm doing a reading, something about coronavirus comes into it. It may be one of the bigger messages, but it's also how it's impacting the person that I'm doing the reading for and their family. Like, for example, today I was doing a reading for a gentleman, and the spirit of his mother and mother-in-law, they came in tandem, and I was like, and they focused on his wife, and she's alive in this world, but they said that she is particularly vulnerable. And he said, well, she doesn't seem to be. And I said, I don't know exactly why they're saying this, but they kept repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. And so that's why the message was for her through him that she has to be particularly careful. And then there have been other readings that I've done where people have new business ventures and things like that. And the messages were, because of this, things, have to be delayed. And it doesn't take a psychic to tell you that. But they're also giving specific time frames when it needed to be continued, or how they need to adapt things. So it's been very fascinating, because when I open up to frequency and communicate with the collective consciousness, the infinite number of spirits that come through, they know a lot more than we ever will in this world, and they bring forth these messages because they're here to help and to guide us.
Well, actually, that's very interesting based on even what we do when it comes to our research and our investigating. That actually kind of coincides with a lot of questions that we have, especially when we interact with spirits, is do they know what's happening around us? Not them, but around us. And,
oh, absolutely.
You know, to get you know, the fact that you have just told us that, it actually kind of, you know, it's something that we can take with us and put into our, I guess, our knowledge pot when we take and, you know, go out and investigate. Because that's a question we get all the time. Is do they know, you know, what's happening around us, not specifically them? And, you know, when you watch the shows and stuff, you always hear, like, I think one of the more standard questions is, especially on all of the television shows, is do you know who the president is today? And just to see if they can, you know, get that answer, is do they know what's going on? So it's very interesting to me that you have been getting those responses from spirit, because it does then answer the questions we try to uncover if they do know that.
Oh, my experience is not only do they know that, but what they know is incredibly impressive and very specific. For example, I was doing a reading yesterday for this couple. It was a phone reading. I'm doing a lot of phone readings. I'm doing all phone readings right now because they're just as accurate as in-person readings, and spirits are pure electromagnetic energy, and they move at the same speed as light, which is another form of electromagnetic energy. And so anyway, I was doing a reading for this couple, and their son spirit came through, and he had died, and you know, I'll respect their privacy and not get into that. And all of a sudden, I see a package of Bazooka Joe bubblegum. And I'm like, Bazooka Joe bubblegum? And I say, the way I'm interpreting that, that means somebody that was in the U.S. Army, and it very well could mean somebody named Joe. And at first they didn't get it, okay, because, you know, it takes time for people to fully understand a message. And then all of a sudden they said, wait a second, our son died the day he was supposed to move into this house that we bought him, okay? And so we just recently rented the house out to this man named Joe who was in the U.S. Army, okay? So their son was letting them know, I know this guy Joe who was in the Army rented this house. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, that's very specific. And they're saying, well, why do you get, you know, Bazooka Joe bubblegum? It's like, well, it's what spirits do is they're sending a wave of electromagnetic energy into my brain. And so the spirit's energy interfaces with the electromagnetic field in my brain, and then that impulse gets converted into recognizable concepts based on my memories, feelings, and cultural associations. So it's not so much like the spirits waving around a piece of Bazooka Joe bubblegum, but when I saw that reference, all of a sudden it dawned on me, all right, the name Joe, a bazooka means U.S. Army. I get other indicators for Navy, Air Force, and Marines, so that's specifically to Army because that's what my brain's doing. And my understanding is that Bazooka Joe bubblegum was sort of a World War II Korean War era thing, because sailors were and soldiers during that period of time were chewing it a lot. So that's how I know when I receive that particular piece of information. So it's how my brain converts it and recognizes it, you know, to something that I can relate to. And I always find that fascinating because I analyze, you know, the way they transfer information and the way things go on between their impulses and how my brain converts it into something. So that is an indication that spirits are very well aware of what's going on with us. Also, they tend to, when I do reading, spirits tend to give me a tremendous amount of medical information about the people that I'm doing a reading for. I'll pick up on things that I don't even know what it is, and I'll describe it, and people say, oh my gosh, I was just diagnosed with that. Or they'll get back with me and say, you know, I went to the doctor and told them this, and they said, thank goodness you're here because you were about to have a heart attack. And so So spirits are very, very aware of what's happening with us because being pure energy, they're able to zip in and out of our lives at the speed of light. And we're moving so slow, you know, they can pop in and out. And by the time, like it took me to say that, a spirit could have been around the world about 10 times. I mean, that's how fast, because they move almost at 200,000 miles per second. And then when it comes to health issues, not only are they able to do like an electromagnetic scan of somebody's body and pick up on energy anomalies, which, you know, translate into physical issues and illnesses, but they're also patched into other spirits, which I call the collective consciousness, and they have this vast, infinite number amount of medical information. So when dealing with the spirit world, we're not just dealing with a spirit. We're dealing with a spirit that's pure energy that's linked to other spirits, that's linked to other spirits, that's linked to even more spirits, so that they can project to the medium, to me or you know, a competent medium, things that far exceeded the scope of anything that person may have known when they were living in this world.
Now, when you get the messages when it comes to medical, are those messages that just come through without having the questions asked, or is that something that they'll still come through if you ask them specifically?
All the above. A lot of times what happens, Rob, is if I'm doing a reading on somebody, all of a sudden I'll feel that the spirits are focusing their energy on the person I'm doing the reading for. And I'll start saying, okay, I'm picking up on these shooting pains. I'm just, you know, using this as an example. In my left arm, and I'm picking up on this, and this. Does that make sense? And the person will say, yeah, I've been having those pains, and I've been getting short of breath. And then they'll start going through, like, a detailed analysis. I mean, sometimes I'll even get the name of an anomaly or a disease or thing that I am personally unfamiliar with. Now, when I was practicing law full-time, I was a personal injury attorney in addition to being criminal defense, and at one time I was a prosecutor. So I've dealt with a lot of medical experts, and I have a basic understanding of anatomy and physiology, maybe a little bit more than basic. And spirits know that, which is partly why they want to give that to me. There's also a bigger benefit at work here, if you will. Healing is a gift from God, okay? And, you know, if you look at it, the work of Jesus, a lot of what he did was healing, and that a lot of the saints, Mother Teresa was a healer, St. Francis of Assisi was a healer, Buddha, Krishna, I mean, you know, healing is a gift from the divine. And I am just a conduit for that information. I don't look at myself as having any special holy powers or anything like that. I'm just the radio that this information comes through because, you know, being filled with disease, the root of disease is the word ease, and dis-ease means that your body is not at ease. You're out of balance. You know, like, Rob, what you went through, you know, you were in an accident, right?
Yeah, I'd like to call it an accident, but it was just more of a stupid idea I had. I mean, I'll just lay it out there. I was fixing the my kids have like these giant trampolines. I think it's like a 15-foot trampoline, and it sits about 3.5 feet off the ground. And I was fixing it for them. Instead of taking like and just get scooting down, or you know, taking going on a chair or something, I decided to jump down. And when I jumped down, I have what I consider to be a bad leg, which is my left leg. I broke my hip 5 years ago. So I kind of favor that leg. So I landed on my good leg, and it was soft, and it was a little muddy, and my leg kind of like hyperextended, or I don't know what happened. And my,
you're not so good,
yeah,
leg.
I had that injury. Yeah. So now my good leg is my real bad leg, and then my bad leg is my bad leg. So now I'm all confused on what I'm talking about, but my, my tendon ruptured in full, and my kneecap shot into my thigh, and I instantly went down. And
I can't imagine how painful that must have been. Just describing it, I could feel searing waves of pain.
I swore a lot.
What I'm getting is,
don't swear around my kids.
Well, when the social distancing thing, when we're able to have interaction again, have you been through acupressure treatment?
No, I have not.
Okay, write that down. Make a note of it. Acupressure. Acupressure is similar to acupuncture, which I don't know if you try, but I think that would be good for you too. And when I say I think that, this is what I'm getting about you. Acupressure is where pressure points are applied to the areas of inflammation and where the histamines coagulate within your body and cause inflammation. And by dispersing the histamines, it'll start taking the pressure off the ligaments, tendons, and muscles. And so you're going to have reduced inflammation and reduced pain. It's not going to make you 100%, but it's going to be a significant improvement. So make sure that acupressure is in there. What's with you and salmon? Do you eat a lot of salmon? Is there something with you and salmon?
I take fish oil pills every day.
Interesting. Okay, because
I'm
tasting
salmon. Yeah, but you do eat salmon.
Yeah, I do eat salmon.
You eat salmon.
Like salmon patties and... I try to eat healthy. I eat healthy.
No, no. Rob, listen to me. Okay, Rob, I'm doing a reading. Don't interrupt. Sorry, and I don't mean it like that.
What they're
telling me is that the salmon and the fish oil is very, very good for you. And it's more than just the omega-3. It's like there's a vitamin E and a vitamin A in there. And for some reason, your body is craving fat-soluble vitamins. And so that's what you need to be going for. There, it's also telling me that you tend to be vitamin B deficient, and it's in the realm of the vitamin B2 and the vitamin B5. So I don't know if you're taking a B supplement, but if you're not, you need to. Okay, so that's what they're telling me for your benefit. I'm sorry, I did not mean to say listen to me, but when they're giving me something, I want to get it to you. Because what will happen is it goes so fast, all of a sudden I'll lose it. Like, what do they say? You know, so I wanted to make sure I got it to you. All right. Now I'll step back and let you two talk. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I appreciate
that.
And I do not take a B complex. I take like a B6 or B12, but not a complex.
Okay.
I used to.
Interesting, because they were zeroing in on B2 and B5, and you're taking B6 and B12, which is good,
right.
But the B2 and the B5, okay. Turmeric. Turmeric. Okay. Turmeric, you can get those supplements. Turmeric, I'm tasting, I'm seeing, I'm smelling, is also anti-inflammatory. So that's going to be good for you to incorporate as well. Now, that being said, I have to say this as a disclaimer because I'm a lawyer. Always make sure that you run these things through your healthcare provider or doctor. But this is what the other side's telling you. Okay, now I've done my disclaimer.
No, that's too bad. I've gone with pineapple extract the past 2 weeks, and it's a natural. It almost has like a
bromelain.
It has a bunch
yeah.
of benefits. Yeah, bromelain. I've been taking the bromelain powder. I've been taking it for maybe the past couple of years, but I've taken it to the point where I'm now taking three doses in a day for the anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, good choice on the bromelain. But make sure you take the turmeric too, because yeah, bromelain is a natural anti-inflammatory, and so is the turmeric. And then there's something about the B2 and the B5 that your body needs, and it may be that the vitamins that you're getting through the fish oil and through eating salmon need to work in conjunction with these things as well. Because a lot of times people take vitamin A, they go, oh, it's for my eyes. But from what I understand, vitamin A needs to be taken in conjunction with vitamin E. Then there's people, usually women, that say, oh, I've got, you know, calcium deficiency, so they start taking calcium, and it doesn't seem to help. And that's because they're not taking it in tandem with magnesium and also potassium, because those two minerals, essentially, as has been explained to me, help to get the calcium to go where it needs to go. So you can't just take one vitamin. You've got to make sure that you're taking it with the ones that, vitamin E is, you know, pro-vitamin A. They have to work together. So anyway, once again, I'm not a doctor, but I do understand that. And also, it's very interesting when the collective consciousness starts giving me these things, that they oftentimes will say, you need to take this, 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 and this. And so that's what they're doing for you, Rob. And also make sure you look into the acupressure and very possibly the acupuncture as a way of releasing the histamines and the pressure that will help reduce the inflammation.
I will. To be completely honest with you, I could talk vitamins and supplements all day long. I enjoy it. I put myself through college by working at GNC. And, I read, magazines and even reports on, different vitamins and supplements and what, because there's a lot of things that you can take, but like you said, they don't work well to get well alone. They work together, so we can do a whole show on that. Maybe it's time to move on. But I appreciate it. And it's weird that those are the two B supplements I'm not taking.
Yeah, it always astounds me. It's as big a surprise to me as it is anything else when the other side brings up things like that. So, anyway, let me. Are there any callers that we can do? I can do some mini readings on.
We always have callers.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think we're going to start with an 816 area code. Now, I'm going to go ahead and bring them in live.
Okay.
All right.
Hello.
Hey, hi, you're live.
Hi.
Hello,
can
how are you doing?
Me?
What's your name?
Donna.
Hey, Donna. Okay, let me see who I'm getting around you. All right, I'm picking up on a male energy coming through now. What I'm getting about him, Donna, he feels like he could be on the generation above you. And what that means is that could be on the parent level. It doesn't always mean a father. It could be an uncle or it could be a gentleman that you know who's older than you. Sometimes it means the grandfather level, but let me focus on him. Okay, burning sensation in the throat. I'm getting a burning sensation in the throat, burning sensation in the lungs. So what this indicates is that there was some type of serious ailment going on in his throat and in his lungs, and I'm getting swallowing issues. So now it's expanding what he's transmitting to me, swallowing issues, also stomach issues. So basically from his mouth all the way to his stomach, there was something going on with his esophagus, mouth, stomach, and digestive tract, and simultaneously is a burning sensation in my lungs. And a burning sensation, what that can indicate is that he was having some type of lung disease. It could be lung cancer, but it could also be like a COPD or emphysema, because different conditions may have a similar sensation to me. The other thing that I'm getting is massive fluid buildup in his lungs and in his chest. This feels a lot like congestive heart failure, because I'm also getting numbness now running down my whole left side, tingling in my left foot and a leg. And that is consistent with cardiovascular issues. Now, before I go any further, does any of this make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Is this your dad or somebody on that level?
My dad.
Okay. All right. So let's see what Dad has to say. All right. He calls you his little April bunny. April. I know we're in April and Easter just passed, but he's given me bunnies. So I don't know if you guys had rabbits or that was a nickname or something. But and maybe Easter was a real big deal with your family. But he's giving me significant births, deaths, anniversaries, or events within the month of April that could be connected to you or to him in some way. Does that make any sense to you?
It does.
In what way?
My mother passed in April.
Okay, let's get Mom in here. All right, here she is. All right, hold on. Look, I know this can be said of a lot of moms, but boy, your mom is a good cook. I mean,
was she ever?
Oh, my God. She's coming in, and it's like if she made a grilled cheese sandwich, it wasn't like Wonder Bread grilled cheese. It was like, you'd go to a restaurant and pay like $25 for this grilled cheese sandwich. All right, that's that's what
yep.
I'm getting about her. I mean, fantastic. And, and the thing about your mom, food was an extension of love. Like when she made food and all that, it was an act of love that she did. And I know we're talking about April, but now she is pulling me into August, specifically the Leo time frame. What's fascinating about Leo, first off, I'm seeing images of lions, but that's how I get Leo. Leo runs roughly from July 20th through August 20th, 22nd. and there could be births, deaths, anniversaries, or events connected to you, her, or someone close to the two of you within the Leo time frame.
I got a brother that's born in August. He's a Leo, but I don't know of any deaths.
Okay, no. Births, deaths, anniversary events, what it is, they're hitting on an event there. So she's targeting your brother, her son. All right, let's see what her message for you is. It's weird. I'm hearing a, I don't know if it's a name or a place or a word. It's like Ermine. It's like E-R-M-I-N-E or Irvine. Ermine, Irvine. It could be Irvin. But does a name like that make sense to you in any way? Could be a variation on that.
Either Terrell or Tremaine.
Hold on. What was that one?
Tremaine.
If I'm getting Ermine, Tremaine, Irvine, okay. Who's Tremaine?
A nephew.
Okay. Is that your brother's son?
It's my sister's son.
Hold on. See if she's talking about him. Does he do something that involves firearms?
Not that I know of.
Okay, there's something about him and firearms, and I'm getting a red flag here. Okay? Now, look, I'm not trying to scare you because spirits are not here to scare us. They're here to help. And
right. There's
something he needs to avoid firearms, period. Okay? Hold on. Yeah, I keep seeing police badges, police numbers, firearms. I just keep getting this whole involvement with law enforcement. And for all we know, he may be going into that or something like that, but I keep getting that. So let's make a note, and let's see what she wants you to know. Okay. Interesting. We're talking about breathing issues with your dad, but now she's focusing on you, and I'm getting like this, like that. Are you having sleep apnea?
I think so.
Okay, so are you waking up, or when you wake up in the morning, you don't feel well rested?
Some days, no, I don't.
Okay, so this is something that you're going to have looked at, and what I'm getting is she's focusing on your breathing passages, your sinuses, and I'm not sure if you have a deviated septum, but she's zeroing in on the septum, and I'm also getting like a lot of post-nasal drip when you're sleeping. And she said that this has been interfering with your sleep. Now, what's fascinating about this, it also appears to be, from what she's telling me, tied into allergies. Like, you're real sensitive to pollen. Okay, some people can walk through like a flower garden and not bother them at all, and then other people can't. And you're one of those people who can't. And you're very sensitive, she's saying, to oak, to myrtle, to elm, and to, well, wildflowers, okay? Do those things grow near where you live?
Yeah, I've got elm trees in my backyard.
Bingo, okay. I'm not doing
maybe
commercial.
I'm allergic.
Yeah, maybe you're allergic. I'm not doing a commercial for this particular over-the-counter. Do you do Flonase? Do you use Flonase?
I do.
Okay, and it's not working?
Well, I haven't been taking it lately, but I need to start.
Okay. How about a half hour before you go to bed, do a little bit of a dose, see how you sleep, okay? See how you sleep that night, because that's what I'm getting. It's like you need to clear that out. The other thing that she's telling, like, during the day, use a saline spray. Boy, your mom is really good on top. I mean, she's, like, on top of this, okay? And your dad's saying that, have you not driven your car for a while?
I drove it today.
Okay. Your dad's talking about the oil in your car. Did you smell anything or, I mean, is there something going on with the oil in your car?
Not that I know of, but I better check, huh?
Yeah, get that checked. I mean, it could also mean that you're due for an oil change, but what I'm getting is when I focus on your dad, or rather what he's focusing to me, is I'm smelling you know when you start leaking oil and it starts to, like, burn and you smell that? Something's going on. So you may need to get your oil level checked. So anyway, Let me see if they have anything else. Nope, that's the whiz, bang, boom. So I'll leave that with you.
All right, then. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
Oh, you guys always have great callers. And for the listeners, I don't know anything about the callers. Rob and Nikki are very good about not telling me anything because that's, you know, that's my policy. I don't want to know anything about the people that I do a reading ahead of time. Number one, I want to guarantee the authenticity of what's coming through. And number two, I don't want the reading tainted by anything I might know. So.
Right.
No, I've never given you any information. Two times you've been on. We don't even know. We keep it as authentic as we possibly can. We know their area code, and we do screen, like, we know their first names, and you know, we have a screening process, but we don't find any information out. We don't know anything about them.
You know, yeah, I'm really glad that you do that. I was on a show once, and you know, I told, or my assistant told, you know, if you're gonna have callers, make sure they're not affiliated with the show, and make sure there's total anonymity. Well, the host of the show made sure that all of her friends and relatives were the callers. And one of the spirits came through and said that about the host. I said, well, I'm getting that you have a lot of problems with the relationship with your mother. Then this lady calls in, and it was the host's mother. And she's like, we don't have any problems. She started, like, yelling at me. And I'm like, yeah, the more she's yelling at me on air, I'm beginning to feel that the spirit was 100% right on target. I mean, it was funny, but it wasn't funny because this lady, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm a good mother. And it's like, yeah.
Maybe off air you'll have to send us that link. I would love to hear that.
Yeah. It's kind
of
funny.
I need something to brighten my day. And that'd be one of those things that, like, I go back to it and just keep playing it over and over every time I just wanted to smile. That would be great. But let's take a quick break to give your plugs, because I know we haven't done that in a while. In case someone's just joining us, we are talking to Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer. And where's the best place for people to get a hold of you?
If people want to schedule a phone reading with me, find out the other shows I'm going to be on, order my book, sign up for my newsletter, it's one-stop shopping at evidenceofeternity.com. And that's the same name as my last book, Evidence of Eternity. And both my books, Never Letting Go and Evidence of Eternity, are recommended by hospices and grief counselors worldwide. Both books are now available on audio. They're in several different languages. So you can find all of that out by visiting my website, evidenceofeternity.com.
Very cool.
All right, well, I think, do you want to take one more caller?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Okay.
So let's do it.
All right, now go ahead and bring the person in live. Yep, I'm going to bring the person in live. Caller, you're live.
Hello. Hi.
Hello, how are you doing? What's your first name?
Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Let's see who what spirit around you wants to communicate. I'm getting a male energy coming through. Now, what's notable about him is he feels like he very well is on your generational level. So this could be a brother, cousin, friend, you know, somebody in your generation. And what I'm getting with him is I'm feeling a massive impact sensation, like the shockwave going through my body. I'm tasting a lot of blood. Sorry, I don't mean to get all, you know, so specific, but this is what they give to me. And I'm feeling, like I said, impact to my head. So what this is indicating to me is that his passing was abrupt, unexpected, and based on the physical sensations that I'm getting, it feels to me like this was a traumatic passing. Now, the difficult thing here is what type of trauma. Because I am feeling in the area of my temple on the right side, my jaw, my face. I'm feeling that essentially the condition of the body was in pretty bad shape. Does this make any sense to you?
It does, but I have two.
That's okay.
That would have been my age, so that the first of all, same name.
Oh boy,
but
they're
one side of the family, one side of the other. So there's two Robert Davids, and then there's
okay.
two Davids. So that would be confusing. So you might have to just ask Spirit just to give it a little
right.
bit more.
Well, I know. Well, what it is, I do it in increments instead of going through the whole thing first. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, for future reference. You gave me their names, and I always ask people not
oh,
to
sorry.
Do that. No, it's okay. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just instructing, you know, because they may have given that information to me. Okay, this one, all right, this guy's got the sense of humor on him. And I know nobody likes cockroaches, but he's talking about something about you and a cockroach, like you're totally
oh
freaking out. All right, well,
oh
what's going
God.
On with the cockroach? I'm hearing like, la cucaracha, da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
I'm seeing this. Okay, so what's up with that?
Okay, so my husband and I were dating. We went down to Florida. We visited his grandparents. They're talking about palmetto bugs.
Yes.
Okay.
I live in Florida.
Oh,
yeah, palmetto bugs.
We sprayed already this and that. And, of course, I didn't know what a palmetto bug was. So I go to hop in the shower, and there's a cockroach bigger than my chihuahua back home, and I'm freaking out. And my husband's grandfather is out in the room on his reclining chair singing, La cucaracha, la cucaracha. And my husband's dying laughing. I'm not dying laughing because the towel is on the other side of the bathroom where the cockroach is. That's how I found him.
So this spirit is getting a big kick out of bringing up that
yeah.
memory. So he thinks
would.
That's funny. But he said, though, that episode kind of desensitized you to the palmetto bug cockroach thing. He said,
yep,
now she's
yep,
like, yeah,
I'm...
bug. Okay. So he said, though, that's what he always loved about you is that, yeah, you know, you're a girly girl, but you're also courageous, strong, daring, adventurous. You adapt to situations, and you don't get stuck and mired in, oh, woe is me. No matter how miserable or unhappy or grieving you are, you will pick yourself up and push yourself forward. And he just absolutely is enveloping you in love right now. This is really sweet. Oh, man, I'm getting all teary-eyed on this one.
True fact. I was only dating my husband for like 2 weeks, and he's like, when am I going to see some grandkids? I'm like, can we get through the holiday first? I'm just thinking 4th of July might be something, you know. Let's get through that first. Yeah, he had a great sense of humor.
There you go. So he still does, and he will always love you. Always love you. So, well, thank you for calling. And wow, that was great. That made me feel good. So thank you for giving me the honor of doing this for you.
You're absolutely, the pleasure was all mine. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
That was spot on.
Yeah, I love
yeah.
when the spirits come in like a fire hose. I mean, her husband wanted to talk to her, and no other spirits were getting in the way. Okay, he was there, and it's really that was just beautiful. I mean, and what was amazing is the torrent of love that he was flooding towards her. I mean, I started bringing tears to my eyes. It's like, you know, this is all about love. Is spirit communication, because love transcends physical death. Not even death can kill love. And you know, it always saddens me when there's people who claim to be religious that are so hateful and negative towards spirit communication. And they start yanking verses out of the Bible going, this is not of God, and yak, yak, yak. And although there are other verses, such as in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 4 through 12, that says how we all have gifts from God, and one gift is prophecy, and another is discernment of spirits. That's kind of what I'm doing now, isn't it? And then there's Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, which says that we all have gifts from God, and if your gift is one of prophecy, then prophesize in accordance of your faith. And then even in the book of Deuteronomy, I think it's Deuteronomy 18, verses, I think it's 18 through 22, basically it says that the standard for determining if what a prophet says, and that's, you know, what they refer to as psychics in the Old Testament, prophet says is from God is whether it is true. So when the information is coming through, healing also applies to grieving. And so spirits, God sends forth spirits for the highest of purposes to bring messages of love, healing, and resolution. People go, oh, it's a demon impersonating a loved one. Okay, so what would be the objective of a demon wanting someone to feel filled with love and happiness, good and healed? That doesn't sound very demonic to me. How about you guys? What do you think?
No, not at all.
No, I don't think so. I think there's times there's so many theories out there. And one that I don't say I support fully, but I can at least appreciate or understand is if a demon kind of were to present themselves as something that you love or, you know, enjoy just to get your attention. But I don't think they would go that far to, you know, have it go that far, basically.
No, go ahead, Rob. I'm curious to hear that.
No, it's you know, it's something that if you know, Nikki and I, we come across it all the time. You know, when we're like, oh, we get the same thing as, you know, you just presented to us too. Where we'll say, oh, we got the voice of a little kid, and then of course there's someone who says, well, was that really a little kid, or is it just because you guys are both parents that, you know, they came to you in the form of a little kid, you know? So as much as you can break it down, it's hard sometimes to determine, but I don't think they would go as far as to show that type of love and, you know, make you feel like you mentioned that way if they are so negative and evil.
And see, and this is where I depart with a lot of my colleagues. I don't believe in demons or devils. Mm-hmm. I believe that there are non-human spiritual intelligence on the other side. There's an infinite multitude of spirits, and there's human spirits, there's angelic entities, there's animals, and then there's the elementals that are, you know, energies that are more aligned with plants and animals and other things. But I don't believe in a central command of evil with a James Bond villain presiding over it with this, you know, that to me is a bunch of medieval, you know, superstitious nonsense. And in fact, one of the lectures I give is essentially on the history of hell and the evolution of the concept of the devil. And basically it's a boogeyman to scare people into conforming to the laws of the early Christian Roman Empire. Anyway, I don't want to get off into all that, but in the work I have with the other side, I've done readings for something like 15,000 people, and I've yet to encounter a demonic entity. I've encountered angelic entities. I've encountered non-human spiritual intelligence, but it wasn't evil. And then, of course, people that do the paranormal investigations, the ghost hunters, some of them are the demon devil crowd. Others are like, well, it's not necessarily human, but it'd be easy to jump to the conclusion that it was somehow negative, but you know, we're not sure. So that's my position on that. And the thing is, we're dealing with eternity, so a lot of it is subject to our own interpretations.
Right.
Well, and I think our stance is very clear, is that, you know, I believe that the whole demon ideology has been overwhelmingly put out there by mainstream media and television. Because every time you watch a ghost hunting television show, which I unfortunately, and I'll be, this is a completely honest, I don't watch many anymore, and many as I mean, like, I don't think I've watched any in a couple of years, because because you hear something as ridiculous as a knock on a wall, and you're like, oh my God, I think it's a demon. Like, that doesn't even make any mm-hmm. sense. And I think the fact that they're putting it out there, and you know, you have somebody who is vulnerable to think that, and they're watching that television show, and they hear a knock. You know, they hear there's something. The ice cubes are falling in the freezer, and they're not, you know, they're not even putting two and two together. Now they're like, oh my God, I have a demon. Or you know, they say, oh, you get a smell ahead of time. Maybe something died in their walls. You know, you never know. And now they're like, oh my God, there's a demon. You know, so I think the fact that it's been so glorified on television has been awful for some people who are susceptible to just believe anything they see.
Well, scary sells. You know, if you made a movie that's all fluffy and nice and good, you know, then you're watching the Hallmark Channel. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And there's sometimes, and I don't want to crash on the Hallmark Channel, because I have to admit, sometimes it's like, you know, taking Valium without the after effects. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sometimes fluff is good. I remember, like, after my father died, I was, you know, my siblings and I, we were caretaking him, and he died in November, you know, 2 years ago, and it was very painful and very difficult. And then we were going into the Christmas season, and I found myself actually watching Hallmark Christmas movies because it was a feel-good fluff. You know, I didn't want to watch the news. I didn't want to watch gripping drama. I wanted to basically, I wish I could step into that fantasy Christmas world where your biggest problem is we don't have enough peppermints for the, you know, baking contest next week or whatever, you know, the plot is, you know. And so there's a time and a place where things like that are good. But a lot of people, they like to be scared. They like to be afraid. Scary sells. I mean, look at, you know, I've always been a student of film. And I remember watching, I'd never seen it, but I'd heard about it. It was Psycho, you know, the original one with Alfred Hitchcock with Anthony, Tony Perkins in it. So I watched it one afternoon, and I'm like, oh, it's an old black and white movie. Well, let me tell you something. I couldn't stop thinking about it afterwards. It really freaked me out. And I was like, now that was a good movie. And then I suffered through the movie The Exorcist, which is like, if you're into the whole demon devil thing, that's kind of the movie for you. You know, and then you look at all these, you know, Poltergeist and Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th and Halloween and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there's franchises on this because, like you said, Rob, you know, Hollywood likes to turn spirit communication into evil, terrible, and scary because people find it engaging. The other interesting point that you brought up is that how many people in the paranormal, the ghost hunting field, immediately jump to the conclusion, this is a demon, this is a devil, this is evil, blah, blah, blah. Well, the point of being a paranormal investigator, as I see it, is that you're using electromagnetic sensitivity, okay? You're using EVP, you're using K2, you're using all these infrared and all these other very sophisticated devices. But you're supposed to be applying the scientific method, which is objective, detached analysis, where you record and observe what happens and examine the facts before arriving at any conclusions. So just because you have K2 meters and some infrared detectors and you pick up something, oh, that's definitely a demon, what have you done? You have just flushed the scientific method right down the toilet because you have jumped to an opinion-based assumption, and now it has gone from objective to purely subjective, and in my opinion, the result of the study is worthless. It has to be approached with the scientific method and observe it. And you got to leave your religious preconceived notions of hell and all this stuff behind so you can make a logical and unbiased assessment.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
No, I agree. And I think even when you break down stuff, we communicate using what some people call a spirit box or a ghost box. It essentially is a jammed radio that scans and it never stops. It creates almost like a white noise, but you do get little blips and of radio that come through. So you get parts of voices, but you don't get full sentences and names. But, you know, I also think those can be manipulated. If there is a spirit who wants to scare you, they can come across with a scary tone. So just because they're coming in, like, in a deep, gruff voice doesn't necessarily mean it's a demon. You know, so I think there's just, you have to keep everything in perspective. You know, I think probably 99% of the times you're communicating with someone who's just either wasn't a nice person, they're crabby, they enjoy scaring you. Yeah. Or creepy. We've ran across creepy people that call themselves creepy. And you never know. But I think if you jump the gun and don't fully take in, and it just leads you down a path of, why are you even there? You know, if you let that lead you, and I think there's so many times in our ghost hunting community where the investigators are led by just a mindset of what's going on and not necessarily looking at what is actually happening. And it's just, it's silly sometimes.
Well, it is. I was part of paranormal investigation, and we were sitting around and we had, you know, we're like you were saying, the white noise where you're hearing things. And all of a sudden we heard something and the ghost hunter goes, "It's a demon. It's a demon." Well, myself and two other people heard Stephen. Okay, and I go, "That sounded like Steve." He goes, No, it was demon. I go, "No, it sounded like Steven." And then, you know, two other people says, "Yeah, it sounded like Steven to me too." And the ghost hunter, he was, "Oh, it's demon. I finally said, "Would you stop that?" You know, it's like, let's try to listen to it. So, you know, I think a lot of times the ghost hunters, that's what they are. They're ghost hunters. They're not paranormal investigators. And,
right.
And there's a big difference there.
I agree.
Yeah,
it's like, what's the difference between a grave robber and an archaeologist? Okay?
Right.
The grave robber is in it for the treasure and the gold, and an archaeologist is there from the wealth of knowledge that you can obtain from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Well, and I think there has to be a reason why you go. And I think, you know, for whatever they, each individual gets out of it, that's what's right for them, and it doesn't bother us. I just know when we do, you know, you made an interesting point when you talked about Stephen or demon. You know, when we take in, we are very careful if we release any kind of evidence. We call it a finding. We don't even call it evidence because it's just something we found to be an anomaly, or we found something that, you know, it's just what we think might be evidence, but it's a finding. It's not, we can't be there. There's 100% this is a paranormal evidence. Because if we did it every time, that would just, you know, there would be no reason for anyone else to go out. So this is something that we found. And we'll take and we'll ask people to hear our clips and see what they get prior to us putting it out there. Obviously, if we tell 10 people and 9 out of the 10 all hear the same word, or the same sentence, then we got something. But if 9 out of 10 all hear different things, then we're like, oh, maybe we need to revisit what we think we heard. You know, so we also have people analyze it on the back end just to make sure we're not over enthusiastic by something that we might have captured.
That's always good to have a second set of eyes to analyze that. And, you know, it's like when I was practicing law, it's, you know, people will say, "You don't seem like you care about me." And it's like, if I get emotionally involved in the case, then I lose my professional objectivity, and then I'm not doing my job. It's the same thing in the medical profession. I've heard people say, "Doctors and nurses are so, they don't care about me." Of course they do. But if they get emotionally involved, then that clouds their judgment and their analytical ability, so they can't help you properly. And it's the same thing with what you do. It's also the same thing what I do as a medium. Yes, I care about these people, absolutely, because my job is to help them. But I have to also be the spirit mediator. Okay, I'm let's say I'm talking to a client like you or Nick, you know, Rob or Nikki. I'm, you know, you're the client, and I'm doing the reading on you, and I have to listen to what your responses are to the information that I'm transmitting. But it's important for me not to get emotionally involved or jump to assumptions or conclusions about things. You know, and sometimes the information that comes through is rather startling. It can be incredibly personal, but you know, I can't get all caught up in it. And I sort of did in that last reading just because I was the conduit for this wave of love coming through. But it wasn't like, oh, I love you, meaning the client or the caller. I was feeling for a second what he felt about her, and it evoked the physiological reaction of my body of tears coming to my eyes. And so it's very fascinating. So now that I've had a few minutes to step back and look at the experience objectively, I go, oh, that's what the spirit was doing, was hitting all the physiological responses in me with intense love. And so that is how I like to examine and observe, like when I'm observing other mediums or observing what it is that I do when communicating with spirits.
Well, that's interesting. Right. And, you know, even for us, when we go back, and so we record everything, we record everything with multiple sources and you know, audio, video, and we look through things. And it seems the only thing that I feel is usually the downside is, and the one thing that I guess you can look at is where people can actually, I guess they pay attention to, is the direct communication from human to spirit. And there are so many times that we've captured evidence that I believe is evidence that is spirit to spirit communication that we're picking up, that we can hear them communicating with each other. But it's often overlooked because there's not that initial question or by a human, like, you know, someone, a living person. And I think that's one thing that is drastically overlooked, because I was looking through some files today, and I know we had communication from spirit to spirit we were picking up, but we did not, you know, there was no living person to present a question to start with, so there's no backbone behind that.
And it's interesting, when we pick up on spirit-to-spirit communication, they communicate a lot faster than we do. I mean, it's, you know, and a lot of times I have to ask them, slow down, guys, you know, because, once again, they're moving at light speed, and, you know, we're in this ultra-slow mode of communication. So it is very fascinating, and what we have to realize is that there is more to life than meets the eye, and to what is perceptible by our five physical senses. And we're always going to have to contend with the people who outright reject what we do. They're not skeptics. They're cynics. They're closed-minded people. A skeptic may not necessarily believe, but is open-minded to evidence. There's always going to be haters because, you know, they're ignorant as to anything beyond their realm of experience, and ignorance does not mean someone is stupid. It means they lack the knowledge. But some people love to wallow in ignorance the way a pig wallows in mud, okay, and they seem to be happy there. And that if something is outside of that person's realm of experience, that therefore it's impossible and doesn't exist. And I've never understood that. You know, I mean, I guess, you know, the environment that I was raised in, you know, both of my parents had mediumistic abilities, and my dad was a NASA engineer and a Navy SEAL. And dad was of the firm belief that nothing is impossible if enough research and money is put into it. And, you know, he was one of those can-do guys. And he was like, you know, we should already have a base on Mars. I mean, that was his belief, that we can accomplish anything, and that there is a logical and rational scientific explanation for everything. However, at this point in time, we simply may not have the technology to answer the question. And I'm very honored that he instilled that line of thinking in me. Because then there's people like, oh, you can't do that. And it's like, well, please, by all means, tell me your vast knowledge of quantum electromagnetic energy, frequency shift, string theory, and how interdimensional communication is possible based on those concepts. By all means, please explain that. And they never can because they have no clue.
Right. Exactly.
Now, one question. I do not believe that we asked you last time. And if we did, I apologize.
Right, ask away.
So while I was reviewing those files, and I'll tell you, the whole point of my whole spirit-to-spirit communication is, you know, we had asked a question, and we had one spirit tell the other spirit to answer for them, and then we had the spirit answer. So, and I can send you the clip later. It's really interesting to me. I was asking if, you know, do you guys, I think the word was it mimic? And, you know, or
yeah.
Mingle. I said, you guys mingle.
Know,
with other, because we had a remote viewer. So there's a point to this whole rundown here. You know, we had a psychic who is a remote viewing psychic call, and he was saying how it was all sectioned off, you know, the different levels of the house. And, you know, but occasionally they would mingle. And so I had asked, you know, do you guys mingle? And through the ghost box, the answer was, say mingle, and then another voice said mingle. So it was almost as if there was like a spokesman for the group. And, you know, it was very interesting to me. And we had a lot of spirit communication. A lot of times we leave the boxes run, and then we record it. And then we go back later and review that recording to see, you know, if anything happens, if there's any, you know, communication like that. And it's very fascinating. But so that was that point. But the reason why I was bringing this up is, do you ever do or any type of remote viewing?
I have. It's interesting. It's not what I do, but I apparently am capable of doing it because I was in some practice sessions, and, you know, they paired me up with somebody, and I said, and all of a sudden I started describing her house and what the furniture looked like, and she had a lot of wicker furniture and where it was placed and the lamps and all that. She goes, my God, you just described my living room and my kitchen. You know, it was kind of cool. And then I've met people that were in special forces, and that's what they do, because the military, even though, you know, the official word is we don't do this, but, you know, they do it. The remote viewers, they use them to try to, like, track terrorists and locations and things like that. So remote viewing is interesting, and it's the idea is that what you're doing is you're extending your consciousness. If you will, it's like people that do out-of-body experiences and astral projections, and they tend to do those in a sleep or trance-like state, whereas with remote viewing, you're projecting your spirit, your consciousness, while you're in the awake state, so that you can perceive something in a different geographical location. And this is possible. People have done it. There is actually a Catholic saint, Saint Clare of Assisi, who was an associate of Saint Francis of Assisi. And she was capable, because she was so sick, she couldn't leave the convent. She was capable of seeing what was happening in church, during a church service, during Mass, in real time. And she was known for her great piety, and kings, emperors, popes would come and consult with her. And so 800 years after she died, Pope Pius XII declared her the patron saint of television. Okay, because, you know, and that's why, like, when they, you know, they say, oh, we don't believe in psychics and the Catholic Church doesn't sanction it. Yeah, well, what do you think most of the saints were? And what it is, they knew that she was a remote viewer, and think about what television is. We're remote viewing things through electronic means and technological means. So I was, when I discovered that St. Clare was the patron saint of television, that put me on the research for her, and she was a remote viewer.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Now, when you did your remote viewing, did you happen to what information did you need to know?
Like, oh, it was more, you know, give me a description
each
of a who. Yeah, who, what, when, where, how, and why. See, I'm a medium, okay? That's where my strength and my forte is. And, you know, what I call interdimensional communication, because the other side dimension is another frequency that runs parallel to ours. And so I'm proficient at tuning into that frequency. Spirits come to me and they start to transmit information to me. Whereas remote viewing is more of what is termed a psychic ability, because you're tuning into the energy of a person, place, or thing, and you're using a highly clairvoyant skill. That's why it's called remote viewing, because of what you see. Now, supposedly there's some remote viewers that are possibly even able to pick up on a conversation, but generally it's more of the layout of an area, a description of it, possibly picking up on an exact pinpointing a geographical location. So that's what remote viewing is. And like I said, I've done it a couple times, but I prefer to concentrate on the spirit communication because, that's my forte.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
Well, I find it all interesting. I was just curious if mm-hmm. you ever had dabbled in it or not, or if it's something that you do on a regular basis, and, you know, now I got my answer. I was going to say, hey, we'll call you when we go somewhere, because we always enjoy bringing a psychic or a psychic medium into our investigation, because mm-hmm. it's just another element for us to use in our investigation.
Oh, I look forward to it.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Well, for sure. We appreciate you calling in tonight and being on mm-hmm. our show, and I think we should do this again. You're staying safe and having fun during this quarantine.
Sure, and I would be happy to. I certainly enjoy doing readings for your callers. So maybe the next time I'm on, we can focus on maybe doing some more readings, and because. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that, unfortunately, our nemesis, the COVID-19 virus, is not going anywhere anytime too soon. And mm-hmm. we all want this thing in the rear view, and it will be over at some point. But until then, we're going to be reaching out to people through the net, and it will be my pleasure to return to the show.
Awesome.
Well, we'll fit whenever you can make it, we'll make it work.
Super. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Now with this pandemic, we tend to have a little bit of extra time on our hands. So we're now broadcasting four to five days, if not more, per week, compared to the number that we're used to doing just one weekly. So we're consistently doing, I'm guessing, five a week. So.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
We've got the time. So thank you again, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
We're going to put up on our social media about that, about your offer. I'd say, if anyone had listened tonight, make sure to check that out, and we'll put an extra plug and stuff for you tomorrow.
Very good. I appreciate that. Thank you, and to all the listeners, once again, please. If you would like to schedule a reading with me, mention Rob and Nikki and Live Paranormal, and then you'll be eligible for a reduced fee reading. All right, many blessings, and people can reach me through my website, evidenceofeternity.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, another good show.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Another good show.
Definitely. Definitely. And people definitely need to go over to his website and utilize that offer. That's really, really cool.
No, for sure. So I have to apologize. My leg, as we talked about being injured, it's been giving me like shots of pain tonight. So if I fumbled a couple words and try to put things together, it feels as if I'm like having like these twinges of pain. So, and they don't, like, there's no warning sign. It's just like someone come and stab me in my leg. So,
Right.
We pulled through. I think the ideas were there. They might have taken me more than a couple of seconds than usual to get them out, but we worked through it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
It's for the people.
That's right. And we definitely like to thank everyone for tuning in tonight, and be sure to take care. Wash your hands. Not that I needed to tell you. You already probably know mm-hmm. that. And be nice to one another.
For sure.
Yeah. Have a good night,
and
everyone.
And like our page.
Bye. Yeah, and like all of our pages. And Mark Anthony's.
Oh, and we
have
also have a huge announcement coming tomorrow. We didn't talk about
that
again.
Oh, yeah, but we're about to be off air.
All right.
All right, have a good night, everyone. Bye.